Good morning, church. I want to thank Pastor Donna for setting up meals for my family for a whole week. And I want to thank all of you that prepared those meals. And not only did it bless my family, but it blessed everybody around us. It felt like Jesus and the loaves of bread. It seemed like we gave, came back, we ate, we gave, ate, and there's still more there. This is all from the same serving. And it was because it was prayed over from you guys. Okay? Thank you again for that. And before I start with God's word, I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for giving me the privilege to be up here, to share what you have walked my family through, Lord. And it's truly an honor to be up here preaching to your church, Lord. I lift up Pastor Mike and his family, Lord, that this time that he's had off, Lord, has spent it with you. And through all that, Heavenly Father, I know that he has made time to spend with us. And I thank you, Lord, for a godly man of this church and everybody that surrounds him, Lord. Lord, I ask that you speak your word through me, Lord. Use me as your vessel. And let it be your word, Lord, that your will be done. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. With that being said, church, I want to go to Acts 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. Whether you know him, whether you walk with him, and if you have a relationship with him, or you don't, I ask you, from my heart, that there's no better place. There's no better hand to guide us in life than him. You know, we get to moments in our lives to where we don't know what to say. We don't know what to, you know, we're stuck. When we're stuck, there's only one name you can say, Jesus. Thy name has power. And if you spend time with Him, believe me, you will see it. You will live it. You will feel it. Because in Philippians 2:9, it says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." Don't matter what name you are. No matter what name you have, there's one name that stands above any other name. His name is Jesus. With that being said, who here today has ever had a face-to-face with Pastor Mike? Quite a few of us, right? And who does he call on? You know, it hasn't called, you know, it's Pastor Mike. But when you sit down, he calls on Jesus. And the reason I tell you this is because even though Pastor Mike's been off, you know, he says, call me if you need something. I did. And I was preparing this message. And because I felt I needed to share with him. And when I walked in his office and I shared with him, we talked and we started talking. And he asked me one question. He said, Marcos, I know you've been going through a lot of things in life. He said, have you ever asked why? I said, no. I said, because I don't doubt. I know who Jesus is in my life. And I don't, in my flesh, I never had it in me to ask Him, why is it happening? You know? And I told Him no. And I mean, I honestly did. And the whole time, those that have done face-to-face with Pastor Mike, he's studying me. He's looking at me. And he says, okay, you haven't asked why. And I said, right. And he says, do you know that why is in your heart, even though you have not asked that question? That why is in your heart. And I said, really? And he says, close your eyes. And I was like, oh, here we go. So I closed my eyes. And he calls on Jesus. And he says, Lord, show Marcos this why. And I'm telling you, church, so I have my eyes closed. And Pastor Mike says, what do you see? You know, you have your eyes closed and, you know, you're not supposed to see anything. But yet, when you call on Jesus, I told you there's power behind it. In front of me is this wall. Not just any wall. It's a brick wall. And it's got no top. I look to my left. There's no end. I look to my right. There is no end. It just goes on and on. Same thing with height. And I'm explaining this to Pastor Mike. I got my eyes closed. And there's a pause. Okay. as silent as it is right now. Boom. That wall. It's gone. That wall. It's not rubble. It's not chunks of bricks. It's nothing but dust. Okay? Just dust. I mean, completely blown up. You guys seen demolition? You guys seen when somebody tears something down? And you physically see the bricks, you know, the mortar, the rubble and all that? I didn't see that. I saw dust. That dust, when it cleared, and I'm not saying it took a while. I mean, as soon as that wall just disintegrated in front of my eyes, he was standing there with his arms like this. Jesus was. And I'm bawling like a baby. Pastor Mike says, "What do you see?" I said, "The wall's gone." Pastor Mike is laughing, okay? Because he knows who's standing there on the other side. He says, "What do you see?" I said, "My Heavenly Father." He says, "What's he doing?" I said, he's embracing me. He's hugging me. You know, like when a child gets hurt. And what's your first reaction? You go over and you pick him up. And you hold him. And you reassure him and you tell him, "It's okay. It's going to be fine." That's how I felt. I felt like a 3-year-old fell on his face. And I couldn't find my way around this great wall. And without even asking Jesus to remove it, without even saying anything, he disintegrated this wall to where there was nothing left but him standing there and looking at me and saying, "Come here." And hugging me and loving me, caressing me in a way that I can't explain, but to compare it to a little child when you hug them after they get hurt and you reassure them that regardless of what happened, regardless what, you know, you did or anything, it's okay because I am your Father. And that why that was in your heart, even though you never asked why, even though you never doubted, it was in my heart, and I didn't know that. And that's what Pastor Mike revealed to me. He says, that's what was hindering you between you and God. And when he removed that, and he held me, I felt blessed. I felt lifted up. I felt there was nothing I couldn't do. Because why? My Father was holding me. He was in control of it. And he's always been in control of it. not fear, not doubting, not asking why. Because he loves us. You know that, right? That he loves you. Travis, your petition this morning about your son. I can relate to that. I have a daughter. Circumstances are different, but there was a time when things were not going right, to where I, as a man, thought, I'm going to straighten this out. Let me show you how it's done, girl. Let me show you how this is going to be go. This is how it's going to go. I am your dad, and you are going to listen to me. Well, Travis, it didn't work out for me. It backfired in my face. Blew up. And as Pastor Mike would say, how did that work out for me? It wasn't pretty. I was at the point that, you know, what am I going to do? I was at my wits. I had other things that, again, other circumstances are going on in our lives. And yet, it seems that the beginning of this month has been about mountains. You know, you face a mountain. You think you climbed this mountain. And you, I don't know, who's ever climbed a mountain? Okay. You know, mountains has mountains and little hills on the side and all that. And just when you think you get to the part where you think, okay, I'm at the top of this mountain, and you look up, and you're like, oh, Lord. No, we're not. I just started. Best way of putting it, regardless of what the mountains are, or how many come at you, or how many are in front of you, it's called life. And we face those mountains, if you face them alone, without that name Jesus, you are going to be alone. You are going to be lonely. But if you take his hand and spend time with him, he will guide you. He will give you the answers. So when I reach that mountain, and I couldn't do it, obviously. I'm a man. I'm a human being. I have control of nothing. Okay? Nothing. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this with my daughter. She's yours. I threw my hands up. I said, she's yours. He said, she's always been yours. But I've gotten in the way. I got in the way. Because I was going to teach her about life. And I couldn't. And I never will. After I gave her to my Lord, 2 weeks later, she calls me out of the blues. Hi, Dad. I know I've been hard. And I'm just calling to say I love you. See what he can do? It's not for us to control. It's to give it to him. So with this being said, church, I want you guys to turn to the book of James. And the book of James, chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 7 through 11. While we're turning our books to James, the title of this message is Patience in Affliction. Our dictionary translation for patience. Patience is a noun. Patience is the quality of enduring pain, difficulties, or delay without complaining or getting annoyed. How many of us here have patience? Be honest with yourself. We don't have patience. We think we do. But I guarantee you, something will trigger that patience to where you're going to get annoyed. You're going to get restless. And as Pastor has said, our humanism comes out. Okay? Let's read God's Word. Everybody in James 5? Okay. It says, starting on verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the huntsman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and later rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, let you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. In verse 7, it says, be patient, therefore. When I spoke with Pastor Mike, and when he hears this, he's going to laugh, because he said, brother, I need you to research the word therefore. And here I'm thinking, what about patience? He says, search out the word therefore. He says, it's just jumping at me. I said, okay. So I circled it, wrote it down. Did research on the word therefore. It has an amazing translation in the Greek. If we go to John 16:8, it says in John 16:8, and when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin, because they believe not on him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And if we go to Revelations 1:8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And see, church, Jesus Christ is speaking and identifying himself as God in the same expression. So, as I study this word, therefore, it's a command. It's not an option for us to, you know, well, be patient. Okay, I'll think about it. No, it's a command saying, you know, be patient because he's coming. And in the Greek, sounds like this: hoan kehoen keho erkmenos. I am Greek, but I practice that over and over and over. And believe me, the more I said it, the more it spoke to me. And those words are the one who has always been, the one who had been, and the one who is yet coming. Therefore, be patient, the way I see it. Not be patient. It says, therefore. That's how it speaks to me now. Because the Almighty is coming. Don't question it. But be patient. And regardless of where we're at with him. Because his name, Jesus, comes with great power behind it. When we call on him, we expect miracles, we expect solutions now. I want to see them now. Be healed. Be gone. But we need to be patient. Because it's not in our timing. We want it gone. We want solutions. But it's in his timing. And believe me, his timing, it could be years, it could be weeks, it could be minutes. It's his timing. I can't control it. We can't control it. He's the creator. He's the maker. He's everything. If we go back to James chapter 1, verse 4. Okay. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? Patience, and the word study is translated as hupomeno. Okay? Hupomeno is broken down in two different words. Hupo is under. Okay? Meno is to remain. Okay? To remain under the preserve, to remain, to preserve, endure, sustain, bear up under, suffer, and as a load of miseries, adversities, and persecution. Hupomeno is also associated with the word hope and refers to the quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb under trials. Okay, so now you're thinking, you're speaking Greek and you're giving us all these definitions and all these other things, but let me tell you, patience, it's a hard word. It's a hard word for us to really live it. Okay? In Matthew 10:22, chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "And you should be hated of all men for my name's sake." Mark 13:13 says, "But he that endureth to the end should be saved." Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer." And in James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Church, when we submit ourselves to Hupomeno, we stand under that hope. His name is Jesus. And the word meno, we remain under it. Okay, so we have that hope. And we have the meno. That if you stand under it and remain under it, under that hope, that only comes through Jesus Christ, not us, but Jesus. Okay? Through that, as we submit ourselves to the circumstances that we're going through in our walk and in our life, I was sharing with Pastor Mike, I said, you know, I thought I had it good before I became a Christian. I said, you know, I went to work, I did this, I did that, and all I cared was Marcos, Marcos, Marcos. And then I submitted myself to Jesus. And my world turned. I used to love to go fishing. I spent days, hours, dead God, the lake. Sandwich and a soda and water. I was good. I didn't care if I didn't catch a fish. If I was in that water with my fishing pole, I was at peace. And I thought that was my world. I was wrong. Ever since I gave my heart to Christ, I married my wife. I learned more about Christ, and as I was dating her, I didn't know she was a Christian in Reno. Her church family would tell her, "Is you a believer? Does you believe in Christ?" And she said, "No." "But honey, you don't need him." She says, "But he's a good man." And they're like, "We need to meet him." And of course, I didn't know. I would go see her, and she said, let's go to church. I was like, you know, I got things to do. I got to go. She never pushed the issue. You need to go. I would see her again. Hey, you know, church starts within an hour or so. Well, you know what? I got a long ride back. It takes me 2 hours and a half to get back home. I got things to do. See you later. So finally, I went to her church. And at the time, you know, church to me, I'm not saying Catholics are bad. No, I'm not saying, but I'm saying I was a Catholic and I went to church when I felt like it. When I felt like, you know what, I think it's time, I need to go. And as my parents are here, they would take us to church. And of course, you need to dress up to go to church. I go to church. To her church. It's not a church. They're in a high school theater that they're using because they're building their church. I didn't know. So I'm like, why are we in a high school? She says, oh, this is where we meet for church. And I'm thinking, okay. So I get there. And again, we look at church completely different. The way God wants us to see us, the way God sees us, is how we are. Don't matter what you wear. Don't matter how you come to church. I went to church. They're dressed in shorts, flip-flops, just casual. And I'm standing there thinking, okay, this is church, huh? She says, yeah. They worship, they do the thing and all that. And I'm thinking, okay, we're done. How long is this over? How long does it last? She says, oh, when we're all done. Okay. So you get done. But you know what? Regardless of what the people look like, regardless of what they were wearing, they all come over, hug me, give me a hug. And some did, some didn't, because they didn't know me. And they didn't know how to approach me. I was judging. They weren't. They were loving on me. And her friends came up and they're like, there you are. You know, finally they put a face to the name that she's dating. And of course they love her. They want nothing but the best for her. And here I am, not a believer. And I'm in her life. And so they start asking questions. And I was like, okay, okay, you know, this and that. I'm trying to avoid them. And yeah, yeah, okay. You take care of her. I said, oh, yes, I will. But to make a long story short, it comes down to this church. During this time of following Christ, when we endure our trials and our tribulations under the word of under patience, hupomeno, and you endure all these things and things that are happening to you, it's a wonderful place to be. You may think, well, you know, yeah, look at your life. I love my life. I love where I'm at. I love being under that. And I will remain under that. That word hupomeno. Because that word hupomeno has taught me great, great peace. To where when God talks to me and says things, hey, do this, do that, talk to somebody. I got to the point where at the end, early in my walk, it was, I don't have time right now. But guess what? Like a father, he reminds you, not hard, gently. To where you feel guilty. I let you down. And I cried. And it's not that we let him down. By all means, he forgives all that, like a father does. But when we remain under that word hupomeno, and under our trials and tribulations, the word patience comes, has another meaning, which is makrotimeo. Makrotimeo is when you're living under hupomeno and you're there is because you worry about your soul. You worry about us. You worry about what's happening to me. Lord, help me. You're crying out. You're interceding for your loved ones that they're going through. And yet you have that hope that everything's going to be okay because He loves me and He loves you. And when all this happens, when you're under that pressure, makrotimeo is born. And makrotimeo, when it's born and it's birthed out of that, under that extreme pressure that you find yourself under, circumstances, anything, then you're no longer worrying about yourself, but you're worrying about the people around you. Their trials, their tribulations, their circumstances, what's going on in your life. You know, I know my brother Steve is working. And I know he's under a lot of things, as he has shared with us when I heard his message. He told me, and the way he described it, and the way he poured out his heart out here in front of the congregation. You know, I speak life into that. Because I don't understand what he's going through. But I know that hupomeno that he needs to submit to, and I know that he will, and I know that he is, and under that, there's great things going to come out of it. Okay? And it's not just with Steve, it could be with any of you guys here. And if this is speaking to you, then it is for you. I don't know your circumstances, I don't know what's going on in your life, I don't know anything. I don't. He does. I'm just pouring out my heart what He has shown me and that patience to be under and to submit. The key word is submitting ourselves to it. Because when we don't, we're like this teenager that they tell you, hey, you know what? Here are the keys to the car, but hey, be home at 11. And you're like, okay, Mom. I'll see you at 11. Well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Mom's busting her head. Where are you? Call me. I haven't heard a call. Are you hurt? By all means, did you run out of gas? No, because I filled up the tank. Well, how far did he go? How far did they go? You know? We become the disobedient child when we don't submit to it. But when we submit to it, Mom is going to say the next time, hey, Mom, it's Friday night. What do you think? Hey, here you go. Have fun. You already know the rules. You already know the regulations. Be home by 11. But it's Friday night, Mom. All right, I'll give you a half hour. You're like, come on, Mom. All right, midnight. You know? But it's submitting to that authority. When we submit to that authority, great things happen. Because Jesus is in the middle of it. Jesus becomes your world. It's no longer my world. It's His world. It's what He has for me. Last week I was supposed to give this message. Saturday night. I'm wrapping it all up. I'm putting it all together. I'm going to call Pastor Mike. I'm excited, Pastor Mike, because he said, you know, call me. We're going to go over it if you want. If not, he goes, the Holy Spirit's got it. So I'm excited. You know, it's like your teacher says, okay, you know, you have a test tomorrow, study for it. You're so excited that you're like, okay, I'm going to share with my teacher that I study. I'm ready to go. God's got different plans. my wife calls me. He says, Marcos. I said, yes. He says, I'm sorry to do this to you, but you need to take me back to the hospital. And I said, okay. She says, I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. And I can feel it as closer I get to her by the bed, her bedside. I can feel that she is breaking inside. Because she's feeling that she's gotten in the middle of what God has. And I told her, don't worry about it. I called Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike says, okay. All right, do you need anything? I said, no, I can handle this. I can go from here. And he said, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to start praying. What was the message? Last Sunday. It was prayer. Right? It was because God wanted the church to see what prayer does. Okay, church? Not what I had in mind. Not what I was going to do for him. No. It's because when we submit ourselves, when we pray, intercede for somebody else, you may think, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't understand what you're going through. But I know how hard it is to be in a hospital with your loved one. And you have prayer. You have prayed for my family. You have prayed for many, many things in my walk with Jesus. And I'm telling you, church, at the beginning of this month, seemed that it was talked about mountains, okay? We all have mountains, as I've told you before. My mountains. You may think my mountains are bigger than others. I'm not here to compare mountains. Okay? My mountains have been with my wife getting sick. The birth of my daughter, Tat, and I, Preemie, you know? She was 4 pounds, 4 ounces. Look at her now. Dad, you can do this. She's my coach. Dad, you can do this. Get up there. You know, she's patting me. She's holding my hand, cheering me on. And Dad, whatever you do, don't cry when you get up there. And you know what? God took that away. Because I do get emotional. And when he destroyed that wall, it was that why that was holding me back. When he demolished that wall, he gave me that freedom to be up here, to share his word, to share his testimony, to share what he has done in my life. Okay? Malachi's birth comes along. Hey, he's got a heart condition. We're going to, you know, 7 years. You think 7 years? Wow. Well, 7 years go by quick. He's 11 now. And you see Malachi? Malachi's just old boy. And he'll let you know that he's old boy. You know? And then, just when I think, okay, I think the mountain is gone. I think we're gonna cruise now. My wife gets sick. You know, we've been doing this for 3.5 years. And everything's been good. But it's okay, because you know why? I like to submit under the hupomeno, because I know what's under here. It's Jesus. He's going to hold me. He's going to guide me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of the family. He's going to take care of food. He's going to take care of the prayer. You know, that healing rain comes down with prayer. And in the midst of all this, you know, I get a phone call and they tell me that My sister Maria is diagnosed with cancer. And it's all good. God's going to take care of this. Why? Because he spoke to my daughter, Tad and I, which at the time she was 10 years old. Told her it's going to be okay. She was concerned. She was worried. But she heard his voice telling her, it's going to be okay. I want to take care of her. Don't worry about it. This is a 10-year-old. Okay? Reassuring me, telling me that it's going to be okay. But through all this, did she share with me? No, she didn't. She just kept to herself. Hey, God said, okay. She went on to be in that night. When Steve had the youth share up here, and Steve said, hey, have you heard your daughter? I said, no. I said, oh, looking at her paper. And I was helping her out. I was like, you heard this? She goes, yeah. I heard God's voice telling me it's going to be okay. You know, you think the word cancer, and you think, oh, it's over. It's... There's no cure. Yeah, there is. His name is Jesus. You know? She's sitting right there. Healthy, back to work. And I thank you guys for your prayers. My wife's sitting right there. Last Sunday, so I was sitting down in the prayer room. I was thinking, what was I doing? I was sitting in a room, staring at her. Couldn't keep nothing down. Couldn't eat. Just dehydrating. But when God steps in and you let him do what he does, I'm here to tell you that he is real. And when you're patient, and when you're in, submit yourself under the hupomeno, and obey the things that he tells you to do, things will work out. My wife's here, my daughter's back there, Malachi's back there with taking care of your little ones, as he likes to go back there, or in class. Is because we submit ourselves to that authority. In Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which possesses all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ, to Christ Jesus. And the peace of God. You can only find that when you submit yourself to it. As I compared it to, you know, getting the keys from your mom so you can go out on Friday night. If you don't submit to her authority, what she tells you, what her rules are, her house, her place, you're going to obey them. You don't, you're not going to be happy. And you're going to make her life hard. But when we do submit to that authority, she's going to be happy. She's going to ask you, hey, can you go run this errand for me? Hey, can you go do this? And you know what? When you're a teenager, you're like, yes, I get to drive again. You know, you just can't wait. As soon as you give her the keys, you're like thinking of another, you know, reason for you, for her to give you the keys back again so you can jump in the car and then go take off again. I don't care. Just go down and get a loaf of bread to where before you're like, really? Need to go for bread. So when you're a teenager, you feel free when you're behind the wheel. Your parents know. They're scared. But when you submit yourself to their authority and what they ask you to do, you will remain under that freedom, that peace with them. Same with Jesus. When we submit ourselves to the circumstances, to the things that are going on in our life, and not sit there complain and act like a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, or 4-year-old with a why. You know what? As a parent, you're like, okay, why? Because I said so. But why? You know? And if you don't have that why, which I thought I'd never had that why. But Pastor Mike brought it out and he says, it's there. It's in your heart. You're human. That question is there. And when Jesus took that wall and then that why and just destroyed it, you know what? I'm free. I can actually get up here, share His word, and be at peace about it. You know, and Pastor Mike says, you know, brother, you're never going to get past that word, therefore, on the first verse. And he laughed. I said, I will. He says, okay, just go for it. Well, you know what? God's good. Because I've learned that submitting yourself to what He has for us. And again, it's not because we're disobedient or all the things that happen or this and that. No, it's because when all this happens, the world's going to see us. They're going to see. They're going to say, okay, well, you're a Christian. You're a believer. Okay, where's your God? My God is here. My God's always been here. My God's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And He loves me. And I'm here to tell you that. Because my mountains, He's taken them. Just like that wall. Powder. I like being in those low moments with Him because I know that He's there because He's holding my hand. And He's taking care of me. And then again, as adults we think, well, we have mountains. We have all these things. And we forget about our children. Do you know that our children have mountains? That was... Oh, sorry. That was revealed by my wife. She says, you ever thought about our kids' mountains? I was like, what? She goes, yeah, they're mountains. Just because they're children and we're focused on our mountains, we don't worry about their mountains. But their mountains are bigger than ours. Because they're scared. They're afraid. And when you give them that security of, it's going to be okay, because you know why? Because Jesus is in control. Jesus is going to take care of this. As my wife was at the hospital, Malachi's crying. Pat and I, being the big mama, wants to take care of him and comfort him, but her mountain is big because now she's got to play mom and dad for him. And then through all this, you guys know Shane, Marianne's great-grandson. They were spending the night. Malachi's crying. Then Shane starts crying. Shane's crying at the top of his lungs and asking, why is this happening to her? Shane's 5. That mountain is huge for a 5-year-old. For a 10-year-old. For my daughter, you know, 12. It's just, we need to comfort them. So what did I do? I did what Pastor Mike did. Sit down. Let's do face to face. So I asked them, you know, brought Jesus into the picture. Tut and I sees a hand. Malachi says, it's all dark for me, Dad. I said, really close your eyes. And Tut and I says, I see that hand. I said, okay, well, take it. It's God saying, it's okay. He's going to take care of things. Malachi's still seeing black. He said, it's all black, Dad. I said, no, really close your eyes and focus. He says, now I see clouds. Okay. I said, do you see Mommy? And he starts crying. He says, yeah, she's in her bed at the hospital. I said, remember how I tell you? God takes us to places, shows us things, and He's showing you that, you know what? Your world is all black to you right now. But I'm going to take you. I'm going to show you. I'm up here in heaven And I'm going to show you how I see your mommy right now. She's okay. I'm going to take care of her. Tell my daughter, here's my hand, hold my hand. And the way she saw her mommy was the way we see her at home. She says she looks healthy. I said, she's going to be fine. God's telling you, she's going to be fine. Okay. And you know what? When we got done, I said, so just go to bed. Okay. Good night, Dad. I'll say what? Why? Because Jesus came in. Jesus took those mountains of theirs, disintegrated them. And if, as in verse 7, when it says, the huntsman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he receives the early and later rain. Okay, the husband is the farmer. Okay, in the Palestine culture, they depend on two rainy seasons, the late fall and the mid-spring, for the crops. Meanwhile, while they're waiting for all this, they're not sitting there complaining, whining, how come we don't get no rain, how come this is not happening. They need to prepare the grounds, get everything ready, because when the rains come, the crops, everything needs to be planted, everything needs to be prepared, and they need to be patient. They don't have an irrigation system like we do. All we need water, we'll just tap into, you know, some pipe somewhere, and we get some water. Not there. They depend on God and the rain. But they learn to be patient. They know. The seasoned farmers know when is the right time. Just by waking up in the morning and looking at the sky and just maybe the breeze of the wind, they know. We got 2 days, we're going to get rain. And the young ones are like, what, are you crazy? You don't know what you're talking about. Believe me. If somebody from the church tells you, look, this is what you need to do in your life. This is what you need to focus on. This is what we need to, you know, bring it into prayer. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand what I'm going through. We don't need to understand what you're going through. He does. He knows. And all he's trying to tell you, submit to my authority. Submit to the Upomeno. And out of that, I'm going to teach you to love everybody else under it. Because that person that wants to pray for you, that person that wants to love on you, that person that wants to visit you, that person that wants to provide for your family, when you're at your wit's end, is a person that has endured and has submitted itself to Hupomeno, and now he's a Macrotomeo, and he wants your soul. So Jesus wants. He wants our soul. He wants us. He loves us so much. It don't matter what your walk is. It doesn't matter where you've been, where you're heading, what you plan on doing. He wants you. And when you submit to that, your plans are going to change. Mine did. I no longer fish. I don't care about fishing. I don't care. I do if we go camping and Malachi or Tat and I or another child says, I have a mess. My reel is a mess, but I want to catch a fish. I'll help them. Why? Because I know how to do this. But for me to sit there and enjoy like I used to, no, I can't. 5 minutes into it, I'm bored. I'm like, they're not biting. I'm done. Before, I didn't care. I reel it in, okay, bait, all right, throw the bait out, give it to the dog, and cast out there again. I was at peace. Boy, was I wrong. My world was way off. My plans were way off. To where he has me now, I'd rather be here. Under the trials, the tribulations, the things that are going, the mountains, it don't matter how big the mountain is. I know he's going to get me through it. I know he's going to get me to the top of it. I know he's going to take that mountain and just turn it into dust. just like the husbands, because the fruit of it, they enjoy the fruit after they wait for the rain, their crops, their harvest, they eat. We go through these things in life, our trials, our tribulations, we stay under it, submit yourself to it. My fruit sits right there. Because I'm willing to be patient to whatever's going on in my life, regardless of what circumstances are going around me. It's going to be okay. Be patient, but don't sit. Do not sit being patient. Do His work. Just like the husband does, the farmer. They work. Because if they don't work, if they don't prepare, when the rain comes, okay, now let's go plant. Now you can't, because now it's all muddy and nothing's going to stick. But if you prepare and you're ready and you plant your seeds, it gets rain, you're going to have a great crop. Okay? Verse 8 says, be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Okay? To establish is to set, to organize. And to be patient. Because the Lord is coming. Remember? Hoan kehoen keho erkemenos. He's coming. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. Prepare your heart. Organize your heart. Organize things in your heart with Him. It's not saying, okay, go home, clean your house, do all this. Well, you know, if you need to, do it. But prepare your heart. Organize the things in here. Because this is the critical part. Because when He comes, they're going to say, you know what? Okay, you know, you got things halfway done. Think about it. All right, go on in. No. Do His work. Do what He's asked you to do. If He tells you to go visit somebody, go visit them. I know my sister Julie did. She came over to see us and she says, you know what? You were in my heart this morning. And I asked the Lord, I don't know where they live. But I remember Alicia said it was somewhere by the pool. So what? She drives out there by the pool. She's on 6 and she's getting ready to cross Butte Street. And she looks over. And, well, where are we? We're in the front yard. I'm working on things. And she says, there you are. I knew He showed me where He was at. You don't need a GPS or whatever it is that need technology to find it. Ask God. God knows. He knows exactly where you're at. Whether we see it visually, He sees everything. You cannot hide nothing from Him. But it takes submitting. If you submit to it, it's a lot easier. Not for Him to find us, for us to find ourselves, who He is in our life. Verse 9, it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. It's saying, don't hold anything against someone. Resolve the issue between you and them. Because if you think, well, he don't know, or she don't care, or he just, you know, they don't understand. Seriously, they don't understand. Solve the issue. You know what? I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry the things that are happening. You know, whatever issue it is, it don't matter. Because the bottom line is, if Pastor Don and I have an issue and we don't resolve it, we're going to have problems. Not between us. Because the judge stands on the other side of that door. He's the one, when He comes back, when He walks in, comes back to this earth, he's the one that's going to have the final say. Not what we have. Learn to forgive. Learn to love one another. Regardless of whatever is going on in your life. Solve the issue. That's what it's saying. Verse 10 says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for example, of suffering, afflictions, and of patience. Okay? If we go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Here we think, oh, you know what, they don't like us because, you know, I'm a Jesus freak, or I talk about Jesus, or I bring in my religion, or I'm praying at a restaurant, or whatever, you know. We're going to get faces. So what? What happened to those prophets before us? They were prosecuted. Right? And here we are, we're thinking, oh, our world's not that bad. Our world is great. Things are okay. And the things that are happening in my world, people don't understand. I don't worry about the people understanding of what's going on in my world. I'm not what I care for and what I want is what my God thinks of me and who I am in Him and who I represent. If people see Jesus in my life, that's all that matters to me. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. When we do His will, when we do His work, when we submit to the things that He wants us to do, we're going to have that peace, we're going to have that patience. But that comes with a price. And you refuse to submit to it, to the hupomeno, then guess what? You're going to have a hard tribulation. But when you have Jesus behind it, when He's holding you, when He's telling you, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. What I want you to do is go see so-and-so in room 3656. Go see them. Because I want you to encourage them. I want you to tell them that Jesus is going to take care of her. You see somebody walking down the hall, you know, with their walker, or they're having a hard time, or somebody in the elevator, they're just looking at you. And believe me, if one thing that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me and shown me is when you walk in an elevator, you push the button and you're waiting for it, and pop, the door opens, and you see this person. And you say, hi, good morning, or good afternoon. And they just got this look in their face, whether they answer or not. The Holy Spirit says, they need love. He loves you. That's what He has shown me. It doesn't matter what my issues are. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It's because when we submit and we live under that, He will show you things the way He sees them, not the way I see them. Because the way I used to see them was, okay, well, I'm in an elevator, okay, big deal. Hi, how you doing? I'm on my destination. Carry on.
Not no more. Now he says, look in their eyes. You know, and you're like, okay. I used to think, big deal. Some people didn't want to look at me. You know, some people I have to do this because, you know, they're taller than me. And it doesn't matter. Once you connect that your eyes with somebody, our eyes say a lot of things. And when I see them, I'm not seeing them with my eyes. I'm seeing them through His eyes. And He's the one that tells this vessel to do the things that need to be done. And if I tell him, no, not right now, because you know what? Alicia's really sick. You don't understand. That's not what he wants to hear. Because he knows that. And he's already told me he's going to take care of it. Things are going to be fine. Do my will. Not mine. His. Verse 11, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy that you, when you fall into diverse temptation. What it's saying is, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Be happy in the things that are happening in your life. Don't sit there complain, whine, and all this, and why me? Why not you? There's a reason why you're there. Because He wants to get your attention. He wants you to cry out and say, Lord, help me. As Pastor Mike has preached from up here, I broke me. Fix me. And He will. He will take you. How many of you guys taking class in pottery? Making things out of clay. Whether you're in high school or not, or ever attempted making anything out of clay on a spinning wheel. It's not easy. It's hard. I tried it. My major was I wanted to be an art teacher, and I was going to tackle anything I wanted, you know, about art. So the first thing I was, I want to master this vase making and, you know, all this pottery stuff. I can do this. All right, I get there, and they're like, okay, we need to do this. You need to learn about this, the temperature of all this, and this, and this. And I'm like, let's get to making something. I want that wheel. So, and they're like, okay. 2 weeks later, okay, now here's your clay. It's like, finally. Okay, you know, and of course, Marcos being Marcos, he wants to do things my way. Get up there, put my clay on there, and, you know, first thing they say is, do not step on that pedal all the way down because that wheel is, you know, it's controlled by your foot. Put my clay on there, I step on that thing, and poof, there it went. Teacher looks at me and says, you're not listening, are you? I was like, sorry, I bumped it. No, I wasn't. I know what I did. And then I think about Malachi. What'd you do that for? Sorry, Dad, it was an accident. No. It was the little Marcos in him that wants to try things his way. Pick up my clay, put it on there, and listen to instructions. And you take that, and you mold it, and you put speed, add speed, take it off, caress it, you know, pinch it here, do this, do that, get your hands wet, bring it all here, put it all together. And I look over, and there's this girl, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Look at the other person, like, hey, you're horrible. And I look at mine, I'm like, hey, you're sad. So, you know, it's all comes down into your hands and the experience that you have and what you went through and what you have done. You think that girl over here Didn't know what she was doing. This was third semester taking this. And still beginning because she still hasn't mastered that wheel. My second week, I got this under control. I know what I'm doing. I'm an artist. I was far away from being an artist, believe me. Same thing with God. When we take ourselves, when we put ourselves on that pedestal and we put ourselves on there and we take our foot and we step on that pedal, poof, there we go. We're the ones that add the speed to that wheel. We're the ones that put our life into chaos. What we need to do is when we break ourselves, submit to the circumstances, the things that are happening in our lives, take it to Jesus, have Him pick us up. You know, we're nothing but pieces. We're broken. We're a mess. We're busted. That's where I find myself sometimes. I'm broken, Lord. I'm broken. Just come here. Gather all those pieces. Puts me back on the pedestal that He wants me on. And gently caresses it. Gently puts me back together. Gently He's molding me back together. And when He's done, He says, that's what I want you to be. And now I'm going to use you. Because we're nothing but a vessel for Him. Okay? He's going to use you however He wants. Because when an artist makes something, puts something together, you know, I can tell him, hey, look, you need to put that over here. No. The artist says, no, this is why I made it and this is the purpose of it. I'm just going to use it as a doorstop. What? Is it, you know, to each their own. But when God says, I'm going to use you here, I'm going to use you here, you here, and you there, is because He wants to put a church together to love on His people. Not to judge, not to complain, not to be annoyed. And when you do get to that point, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Because prayer is powerful. God loves to hear His children. Don't you love to hear your children when they ask you for things that you think you can, you know, that you think they deserve? You know, there's times when our kids come up, you know, I want this, I want this, I want that, you know, this and that. You're like, hey, hold it. No, you're not getting that. No, and that's a no, and that's a no, that's a no, that's a maybe. And they look at you, they're like, what? But Dad, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. I'm your dad, and I'm going to make a decision what's best for you. And what do? They go run to mom. But they don't understand that mom's listening. And when they get to mom and they're like, mom, you know, I think, what'd your dad say? All right, never mind. You know, and that's the way it works. Listen. Hear His voice. Endure your trials and your tribulations that are happening around you. Because you all remember the story of Job, right? Job was ripped out of everything that he had. Was left with nothing. He was sick, he was ill, he was here and there. And all his wives, his friends, everybody, you know what? This is what's happening to you. Curse God. And everything will be over. And he says, no, I'm not. I love God. He endured. He submitted himself to it. He waited and waited, and all these things were happening in his life. And what did it come down to at the end? When we go to Job 42:10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." What did he do? He prayed for his friends. He didn't judge them. He didn't complain. He didn't do all those other things. He prayed for his friends. That's what we need to do. As a church, we need to pray for each other, hold each other up, and pray for one another. Under the circumstances that are happening, regardless of whatever they are, my brother Travis, I love his heart. This morning, he should say, "You know what, church, this is what I need you to pray for." God's got it, brother. Give it to him. Because we cannot do anything about it. We'll just make a bigger mess out of it. God knows what he's doing. It's not his first time. We ain't the first one. You know what, God? I think he's like, "Oh, I know. Come on. Let me take care of you. Come here. Take your wall. Poof. Gone. Powder. Come here. Let me love on you. Let me take care of you. Now listen. This is what I want you to do. Call so-and-so. Tell them you love them. Tell them you forgive them. Tell them." You're like, "Oh, God, really?" But they don't understand. You're not listening. Do it. And if you do it, guess what? You're going to find his peace. You're going to find his comfort. You're going to find what he made you to be. That base, that beautiful thing that, you know, people may look at it as, "Well, you're just a box." Yeah, it may just be a box. But you know what? To God, you're beautiful. To God, you're priceless. To God, we're everything. He died on that cross for us. Don't you think that says anything? Does that speak to anybody? When we submit ourselves to Hupomeno, and Michael Tremeo is born. And believe me, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great... It's so beautiful that when it happens to you, you'll be going, "You know what? Now I understand. Now I see. Now I see why he said what he said." And it's not me telling you. It's not me showing you what we need to do. It's the Holy Spirit telling you, using me as his vase that he built, that I broke, that he put me back together. He's telling you, "This is what I want you to do. You want patience? You want peace? You want all these things? Prepare your heart because I am coming. At the same time, do my will and endure all the things that are happening to you. Because I'm your creator. I am your God. And I love you." So today my prayer, as I end up this message, God's message, my prayer for all of you is that God will meet you where you stand. You don't need... Believe me, He knows where you're at. He doesn't need you to step on that pedal of that spinning wheel and there you go. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need our help, believe me. We do fine on our own, that we put ourselves in situations that we think, how am I going to get out of this? He knows. Submit yourself to it. He will meet you there. Whether you have illness, cancer, lost your job, issues with your children, your spouses, your relatives, regardless of what it is, your walk with the Lord You think, you know what, Lord, I know what you're saying, but you know what? Not today. Why not today? Why not? He loves you. He cares for you. He wants nothing but the best for us. Even though you're going to think, yeah, but look what's happening in his life. I love what's happening in my life. Because I know my Father's holding me. I know he's caressing me. He's got me right here. You know, like when you got a little infant and you're walking around with, like, this is my baby. Check this baby out. That's how I feel like he's saying. It's all right. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of all these things that are over. You think that, you know, the things that are hard for him, you know, dialysis, cancer, all these little pity things, heart conditions, you know, well, it's going to take 4 surgeries. Well, take as many as you want. Because you know what? I know my God's in control. My God knows. My God understands. My God created Malachi. You ask Malachi, well, can I go? This is up to Malachi. Malachi played ball. Malachi played baseball. Malachi played football. But again, no, he can't. Not that I put limitations on it. It's for his better of his health. But regardless of what they are, get it, submit it, submit yourself to it. In whatever circumstances you find yourself in, remember this, God loves you. And he's a lot closer than we think he is. I thank you, church. It's a privilege to be here and share this with you. May this have blessed you as it has blessed me. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for meeting your people, Lord.